Sadhu, 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 这两个不用, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated, huh? We have to offer the rest. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then let's get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page one of our chanting book. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmīraya majjhāpamādathāna vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Gandha sārapa yutena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi butang kusuminanena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhaṃ Pupaṃ milayati yata idaṃ me Kāyo tata yati vinasa bhāvaṃ Ādivāsetu no bhante Pāniyaṃ parikāpitaṃ Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Ādivāse tu no bhante bhojanaṃ parikāpitaṃ anukampaṃ upādāya pātigaṃhātu mutamaṃ. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Hong An, Miss Lee Lai. Vatang Pajemi Dhammang Pajemi Sanghang Pajemi. Okay, you can be seated. Okay.
No, this is the cordless. That's a mic. That's a mic.
I have to use with my one. Yeah, my cordless go with my one.
Okay.
This one got no influence on the thing. One.
So effect lah.
This one be effect eh. That this is not from the instrument. Okay. This is do yeah.
The one.
What is important is my mic ah, look at the edge quality ah. They all skip mic ah. Go with this wire on.
Okay. But
yes. Cannot be somebody kicking you right from why?
Okay.
Then you go back and check.
Okay. Okay, you all can relax body and mind, then we'll off the light, then you can have your meditation. Look at Chui, somebody pull it out from one wire. Look at Aki, your head is being cut out. Scratches. Okay, you all can start your meditation. For those who need instruction, maybe this new transcript book we just came out will be very useful, the blue copy. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, part 2. You combine part 1 and part 2, you will understand the whole practice. Both are blue color. In front of you, you should have a set of 2, the latest transcript. The other one is the 36th lesson of the 6 Patriarchs Platform Sutta. Based on our sharing at Wu Ping Ching Sir on the 27th of November last year, 2016. Then the other one is based on a very much earlier talk, 2013 September 26. Oh, 不用, 关掉, 可以关掉了, can proceed with meditation. So you go back and read, then you don't need instruction. This is to save us time when we have our classes. So those who are new, you read up a bit, then you develop your own understanding. If you got question, you can ask. Then for tonight, maybe I will give one more time the instruction. We are here to develop the meditation. This is a meditation that is related to wisdom. The Buddha called it Vipassana Bhavana. Bhavana is meditation. Vipassana is a type of meditation that give rise to the inside knowledges. You can awaken to the characteristics of nature, the 3 universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self nature, or empty nature, or phenomena, or existent, condition arising phenomena. The word Vipassana got 2 parts. We stand for the 3 characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, which is impermanent, leading to suffering, and non-self or empty nature. Vipassana is to insight into. So Vipassana is a meditation that can allow you to develop this ability to insight into the 3 universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Then it is called Vipassana. That's why Vipassana is not a method or a technique. It's an understanding where you develop the ability to have this ability to insight into truth, into the universal characteristics of nature, of all phenomena. These universal characteristics are inherent in all phenomena, maybe physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. That's why this meditation is very unique. When you awaken to these three characteristics, you are no longer deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Means that self-delusion, sakkāditti, will be rooted out. Because you will come to understand their universal characteristic, which is impermanent. If there is no permanent unchanging entity behind, then how can there be a self? So impermanent will immediately give rise to the understanding of non-self or empty nature existence, because they are all conditioned arising, dependent originating. Hence, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. So this understanding need to be awakened to. Knowledge-wise, is not enough. Knowledge cannot free you. You need to realize it, awaken to it. That's why you can initially develop the understanding through constant listening to truth. The first turning wisdom, they call it Suttamaya Panya. Panya born of hearing the sutta. That's why listening to the Dhamma to straighten your view is very important. Then, in order to develop further wisdom, you can contemplate and reflect onto whatever truth that you have heard or read. When you reflect, contemplate and inquire, you develop another type of wisdom which the Buddha called Cintamaya Panya. This is the second turning wisdom. Second turning will stabilize your understanding. It will allow you to assimilate all those that you have heard or read. Then, after you assimilate them, you will have more stable understanding. That's why the stability of understanding is established during the second turning via contemplation into the truth, via reflection into the truth, and also inquiry through the silent mind. All this can give rise to understanding. So whatever you have read, heard, or developed through your own practice and cultivation, if you were to reflect on it, contemplate into it, and inquire into it, when you are peaceful, with the spiritual faculty of sati, with the creative nature within, then certain type of understanding, which the Buddha called Cintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection and contemplation, they will arise. So as you stabilize what you have read, what you have heard, then you can slowly understand it better. We are assimilating all the important aspects of Dhamma that you have heard and read about. Then when you are ready to receive truth with the stability of second turning wisdom, any of the first, second, or third turning can trigger off enlightenment or awakening. Of course, the third turning is all about awakening. The third turning involves the silent mind in meditation. It's called wisdom born of meditation. That's why it's called Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is meditation, wisdom born of the meditative training. So this cultivation will involve the four foundations of mindfulness. And this four foundations of mindfulness is closely linked to the Noble Eightfold Path. In fact, the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path is also within the four foundations of mindfulness. Even though the four foundations of mindfulness is classified as only one of the path factor within Noble Eightfold Path. These two are interconnected. connected and interrelated, because under the seven power factor, when you develop the samasati, perfection of sati, the stability of sati, then you can cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness, which the Buddha called Satipatthana Sutta, or the Satipatthana practices. So when you cultivate this Satipatthana practices, it will end up with the cultivation of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. And within this three turning of the Four Noble Truths, you will also have the Noble Eightfold Path under the Fourth Noble Truth. That's why it's all interconnected. So meditation is to train our mind to have this quality of mind called sati. And the Buddha constantly reminded the monk, even before he died, his parinibbana. He asked the monk to strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeta. As long as you can develop this heedfulness, you will be destined for enlightenment. You will be assured of enlightenment. So this heedfulness is very important. And according to Dhammapada verse 23, to be heedful, you need to develop two aspects. Combine them, then they become heedfulness. First aspect is to be ever mindful. Second aspect is constantly meditative. So ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, is heedfulness. To be ever mindful, we need to train our mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it so that it becomes ever mindful. So that is why we are here, to train our mind to develop the stability of mindfulness. But for most people who have not trained their mind, who don't have the spiritual faculties, they find it very difficult to have mindfulness, to have the silent mind in silent awareness, to meditate, to understand things. Yeah, come in. So our purpose here is to check whether we have the spiritual faculties with us. If we have, then we can straight away go into the meditation very easy. But if you still have not developed the stability of the spiritual faculty, then you will have hindrance of mind. The mental hindrance will be there. This mental hindrance will arise when the spiritual faculties are not stable. So because of mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. As such, yogi who don't understand this, they are forced to do things that they don't understand. So they will be given method and technique to train their mind, so that this mind that is still without the spiritual faculty and untrained, it will have the hindrance. And in order to deal with the hindrance, they will give you an object of meditation, or what they call a technique and a method to meditate on. Not knowing that these are just skillful means for you to anchor the mind, so that this mind is not heedlessly lost in thought, thinking, so that the mental hindrance can temporarily be stopped. And to do that, they have to focus and concentrate on the object of meditation. That's why they will debate it when they do that. It will become samatha or calmness meditation. So when we understand this, we will do something different from the traditional way or the norm. What we will do is, we will start off with the mind sweeping method, then combine with metta or loving kindness. This is to develop the condition for you to reverse the heedless thinking, so that the mental hindrance can be kept at bay. When you do the mind sweeping method, you just feel and relax. You don't think. And because you continuously do it over a period of time, 10 to 15 minutes, it will help you to decondition your heedless thinking, because you feel relaxed, feel relaxed. So most of the time, your mind becomes more peaceful, more calm, and just relax. Then the heedless thinking will be deconditioned out. Then when you combine with loving kindness or metta, it will bring about inner well-being, inner peace, and inner calmness of mind. So this mind sweeping method initially will bring about inner peace. Then when you combine metta, it develops inner well-being. And this is a very important byproduct of training the mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to have inner peace leading to inner well-being. And there are a lot of benefits with this inner peace and inner well-being. Then after about 10 to 15 minutes, your mind will be more quiet, more peaceful, more calm. And that is what the silent mind is all about, sati. But this sati, because your spiritual faculty is not there, not stable, you need to stabilize it. After the mind sweeping method and the metta, you can use any skillful means. It can be a method or a technique to train your mind. But you don't focus, you don't concentrate. You develop mindfulness out of it to stabilize it. Just like the Buddha's advice, he recommended anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So like the Buddha's instruction, he said breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Which means we just relax body and mind, maintain attention in front of the nostril. Then we just feel. When we just feel, we silence our mind and just be aware. Then when the breathing comes, you will be aware. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind and the breath move as one. It's aware. Then breathing out, the mind and the breath move as one. So if you continuously train this way, sooner or later, that mind will stabilize. Anapanasati will develop. Initially, if you are not used to it, you have not developed the training, then it will wander off very fast. Within split second, the mind is lost in thought. You cannot be mindful of the in and out breath. It's okay. Just accept it. The untrained mind thinks a lot. It's heedless. That's why it wanders off. Every time it wanders off, you just patiently bring the awareness back to the breathing. Come back to the nostril, feel, then repeat all this awareness of the in and out breath. If you are patient, sooner or later, within maybe 15 minutes or 10 minutes, it will stabilize. And when it stabilizes, you feel very good, you feel very calm. You will experience a type of peacefulness which they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness. Sometimes it's so intense, especially the first time you realize it or you experience it. It like rupture inside your mind. They call it the spiritual joy or spiritual rupture. It makes you feel so good. Then you like to meditate, then you will be able to continuously develop this anapanasati until it's very stable in you. Then your breathing and your awareness will move as one. Then you feel very good. Then when piti arises, there is no pain, nothing. This is the byproduct of the mind that has sati. When you are able to train it this way, then it will not become samatha or concentration. Then you just relax into it. Whatever mind state that arises, whatever energy that build up, or absorption that develops, you just relax into it and silence. Bring the mind back to the normal state of awareness. Then release the absorption or continuous mindfulness until the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very still. As you relax, pity will transform and become more refined. Then you will experience sukha. Sukha is a spiritual blissfulness. And as you continue to relax into it, sukha will also transform and become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, or stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And this is the ultimate state that you're supposed to train and develop. So all of meditation has to finally reach that state. Then only your sati will stabilize. Then when you're in pasati, it's like no thought, completely silent, still. They call it tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. When that state happens, do not panic. Do not go and do all those things that they teach you. Touching and sitting, touching and all those feelings and all those things. Forget about it. Just relax and continuously silent. Don't do anything. Let the silent mind develop until you have the ability to be aware without any movement of thought on its own. When you reach that state, I would like to congratulate you or rejoice with your good progress. Because this is the silent mind that we are trying to train this mind to develop. And this silent mind is very unique. It is the mind which is a free mind that has the ability to be quiet on its own without concentration, without absorption. And it's not a conditioned state. It's just a free mind. And this is the meditative mind. And when you are able to develop this, you will realize your true mind without thought, without any movement still. And this is what sati is. This is what the true mind is, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And this one can meditate. And this is the mind that can bring forth the understanding, the wisdom. So when you reach this state, means your mind has developed a higher awareness or mindfulness, the more refined type of mindfulness that can allow you to be mindful without any object of meditation. It can just be quiet, peaceful, silent and still without any support. Because the mind that has the spiritual faculty and the stability of mindfulness, that has pasati, has the ability to be quiet, to be tranquil and still. Then that time you just relax into every mind state that arises and maintain the quietness, the stillness, the tranquility. Then if you want to lie down, you can lie down. Then your mind will be very quiet, very still. And that is the meditative mind. Okay, I will allow you to develop your meditation on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes.
Thank you.
For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember we are here just to train the mind. To have the stability of mindfulness so that it becomes very stable, ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Or mindfulness and clear comprehension of every action, every movement in the midst of life. The daily mindfulness. For those who already have the spiritual faculty, you only need to develop the daily mindfulness. Then you can go into the stability of silent mind to develop the form of meditation so that your mindfulness, your tranquility, your stillness, your paucity can be more and more stable so that you can experience the silent, the true silent, more and more, more and more. Then later on, it can help you to understand many things. To even realize cessation of form and mind, you can realize Nibbana in that state. Unless it's the sainthood way, where it's just a glimpse, a moment of pure awareness leading to the cessation. That is the sainthood way. But if you want to realize Nibbana in a deeper experiential way, you have to be in the form of meditation. When you are in the form of meditative state, especially in the lying down posture, the cessation can come, and when it comes, it can be for quite a period, depending on your nature, your parami, and your understanding. And when you go through the former, it's very different, very, very different. Then you can experience that silence, that stillness, that cessation. Although when you go into cessation, there is no mind, nothing, technically nothing to experience. That's why Nibbana is not something you can talk about. It's not a mind, it's not a concept or an idea, it's just cessation of form and mind. Everything just is. But the form and mind that realize it, when it's out of it, it will understand. It will understand. It will have the awareness, the ability to understand the complete process. Then through that ability, it will understand the Buddha Dhamma very clearly. Then everything become like very clear. Then the Dhamma like very easy to understand. Okay, just, that is just for the benefit of those who have the condition to understand. Now we turn to page 6. We will do the evocation to the devas. I will read the English, then after that we together chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samantaha Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be respectful, Pajam. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay. In front of you, there are two transcript books, the latest, the yellow copy and the blue copy. Make sure you have a set of them. If you want to take for your other friends or kayamita, you can. These are the latest two transcripts that we have printed. They are the 36 lesson of the 6 Patriarchs Platform Sutta, based on a direct transcript from the recording of the 36th lesson of our 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta class dated 27 November 2016, held at Miss Lee's place, Wu Ping Ching Sir. And this one you all can rejoice because we use our Kayanamita fund to print these books. So we print a total of 400 copies each. So it will be distributed to all Kayamitas and also to all the yogi that are going for the retreat, coming retreat in Cameron Highland. They will be coming for the briefing next month, 4th of March. Then we will distribute this to them. It's on a Saturday. You should read through this transcript book because it has a lot of very useful information. It can let you understand many things, especially the 36th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. It explains to you clearly the difference between awareness-based meditation and thought-based meditation. Why most people got it wrong when they developed the meditation without understanding. And why they couldn't progress and realize the true understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. The teaching is very simple when you understand, but when you don't understand, it can be quite difficult. And you can debate very fast, very easily. So that's the reason why all these years of sharing, the purpose is to bring forth the condition for Kayamita and beings to understand the true teaching. And over the years, we have developed a lot of very good understanding, because it takes time, I realize, for this to go in. And after all these years, it has been worthwhile, because this nature realized over the last 3-4 years, a lot of Kayamita has developed the understanding and progressed fairly well, or some very beautifully. The other one is the Blue Book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 2. This book is supposed to come out in the year 2013. We had the sharing at Suyan's house Thursday class on the 26th of September. The first book was 13th of September 2013, and that book was already very good. And the subsequent Thursday class was cancelled because of something, I forgot what was it. I was sharing the conference paper, the seminar paper that I delivered at Bangkok. Yeah, correct. That one was August. Then that week I shared the seminar paper, that's why we didn't continue. Then the following week, which is the 26th, we had the sharing and we continue from there. That's how this one become part 2. Then there was a lady whom we didn't know came to HGBA, and Suyan was there, and she was asking Suyan, is there any tape or anything that can allow her to listen. She was actually looking for Ajahn Brahm's recording and all those things. Then Suyan said, why not I give you another one? You go and listen. If you are interested, then you let me know. I will give you more. Then when she came back, Suyan told him, if you like the talk, you might as well do the transcript. And she really go ahead and do the transcript. That was the first time she did. Then when Suyan passed to me, I did the editing. But after we did the editing, I don't know what happened. The condition is such, we got, we don't have the condition to go through it. We supposed to like do the proofreading, all those things. It took us quite a while before we go into the proofreading. And after the proofreading, I think we didn't even finish half. Then we stopped. Then we forgot about it. The whole of the thing was put somewhere. Until 2 months back, so my wife asked me to clear all the Dhamma thing. Then I took out one by one. Then I saw the notes. So then I realized it's meant to be, the timing is right for it to come out. So I took it on me to finish it off. Then after that, I sent it out for proofreading, together with the 36 lesson, no, 6 Patriot Sutta. Then these two came out together. That's how we have these two transcript book. Then after this, we hope to finalize the website, which is, I think, on the way. Jin Hao, you solve your problem or not? Still cannot. Yeah. You still cannot solve your problem. The downloading one. Never mind, don't worry, you cannot. Oh, so fast. Oh, Miss, Brother Lau thought you one is workable. Yeah, like you found ways to upload it. Miss, you can together one shot upload. No need one by one. Oh, that one not issue, non-issue. That one you can sort it out later. We can manually put it out first. We don't have to use that program to do it so fast. We, as long as uploaded, we can manually put it in first, because we have a lot of time to do the refinement. Don't worry about all this thing. So after yours, I think we are more or less ready to launch that website. Then after that, I will have more time to do the transcript. There are two more, the old transcript, I finished already. The 5 aggregate I just sent to Brother Tim, I think. You take your time, you don't worry. Do the formatting when you're free. You don't have to rush it, because this one we can print later. I got two more coming. The Satipatthana I just finished just now. That one also the 2005 transcript. So I will send it to you. You do up like what you did for the... There is another Kayanamita one, SJBA talk. No, I asked you to print for me to proofread on. Oh, never mind, later. Cannot be four. Three only, I think. Four. Oh, yeah. Compilation or email. Yeah, correct. But it's just a moment. Then this 5 aggregate, the recent one. Then the Kayamita one. Kayamita ship. Yes. So this one I don't intend to print many, because these are the old transcript. But my Kayamita, I want to print more, because that one is on Kayamita ship. That one, I think the demand will be there. That understanding is very important. Whereas the 2005 one is just a general talk. Well, I covered the whole of Satipatthana within 2 hours. It's impossible. But the condition there and then was such that we just cover whatever we have. And towards the end, I got to rush through all the Vedana Nupasana, Chitta Nupasana, and Dhamma Nupasana. I didn't elaborate much. But for the My Kayanamita, that one was based on a talk in Subangjaya, and that one was very good. Then the other two is the 5 aggregate of For My Mind, the early day on. That one I think is useful, but I think that one I will just give to Kayanamita, because the recording also gone already, is in tape form. We can't find it. So you can have the hard copy only, that one. Then the Satipatthana, just now I mentioned also, is a general explanation, not in detail. This one is much better. Then there's another one, the yellow one, final chapter of the Satipatthana, our last lesson. That one is very good. That one is very complete. That one I go into it and I summarize everything on the last day of our Satipatthana class. That one is very good. You go and read the yellow copy, the thick one. That one is very good. So if you want to understand Satipatthana, you go and read that one. Never mind, we reprint. But now with the soft copy inside there, people can download, no problem. Then if need to reprint that one, we must reprint. Well, that one is very useful. It can help a lot of people. Then the Patijasamubada also, based on the year I delivered the talk in the year 2005. But it was only printed in the year 2007, I think. That one is very good, but it's just over the dependent origination. Then there is another one, Sama Samadhi. That one I have yet to go through the draft, because I lost the final edited copy. Don't know where the old computer hide it. So when I change over my computer, I lost all my data. I only managed to save whatever my son-in-law helped me to save. So meant to be. Maybe it's meant to be, so that I got to go through the draft again. But now, the English can be better. Last time when we started, the English was lousy because we were not skillful and not trained in that aspect of expressing the Dhamma in clear English terminology. That time I haven't met Chewy they all. So we were all very colloquial. When I read my own expression in the early day, I also laughed. I say, only I can understand what I say. Because the English word, like, you try to connect the sentence. You try to connect the word together to make a sentence for the sake of making that sentence. A lot of so, and, because. then can follow, understand or not. This colloquial, very colloquial. Then a lot of those, later on after I developed the understanding, I realized they are not necessary. You can just take them all out. So hopefully with this, we can produce better transcript for people to read. Like Chewy said, to cater for a wider audience. Now I can understand why Chewy used to tell me that, but you have this type of English. Those who are good in English, the moment they read, they don't want to read anymore. No matter what gem you have inside there. Because you can write proper English, to them they straight away conclude, no matter how good you are, it's not worth reading. So that makes sense now. So in that particular sense, I also would like to thank Chewy and a few of those English teachers or those who are quite good in English for helping me to develop the understanding. And through working with them, I also improved quite a bit. I saw my own flaw as far as the English language is concerned, the grammar together with the expression part. So similarly, for your the Dhamma wise, when it comes to Dhamma, you are like me, struggling with the language, the English. But if you are patient, you can develop the understanding, just like how I learned to improve my language, the expression of it and all things. So meditation is the same. If you have the faith, the passion, the interest, then you will make it. Okay, so we can start our Diamond Sutta. We will continue from where we stop. The other thing that I need to mention to you is on the preface page, page 1, somehow the printer, when they transfer the printing document over, the Dropbox link was missing, and Brother Sui An's email also was missing. So we hope to rectify it. We are trying to suggest to the printer to make a rubber stamp, so that if you want, when you come for Tuesday class or Thursday class or Sunday class, I will bring the rubber stamp there so that you can stamp it in to make the book complete. Then those that are still here, we will do it on our own. Then it will make the book complete. Just now I heard from Alicia. Where is Alicia? Where is Alicia? Oh, meditating. Then never mind. It's okay. She said on the first page, some words joined together or what? I don't see them. Page 6. Ti liu mian. In this respect, there is a passage, the word repeated, we didn't delete. There was a passage or there is a passage. Never mind, this one is okay, not serious. There, Chewy, should be is or was. Page 6, last paragraph. The yellow one. Page 6, last paragraph. In this respect, there is a passage in Vimalakirti Sutta, or there was a passage. It's okay, this one, not so bad. Thank you so much, Alicia. Yeah, she very sharp. Miss, she has read it. We missed this one now. This one must be our one of the misses. but it's okay. This one, people can understand. No different. Okay, apart from that, I think the printing come out very well. I like the way it's been done up. We should thank Brother Teo and Sister Parmasuri and all those who have helped make this possible. Then the last page, the last page of the blue book, it's a two, it's folded, you know. You can take it out. Yeah, but I don't know why you go and put like that. If we're supposed to fold it. Some of them, they go and bind it. Not bind. A bit too close. Yeah, this one is completely bind inside. So it's completely bind inside. He make a mistake, I think. Yeah, the binding. I just now got one copy can come out. Got one copy can easily come out. No, this one, the glue. The glue was there. This one very difficult to come out. I think he make it. He didn't fold it, then only bind. We should tell him next time. Fold the second half, then only bind as one together. He don't understand what we want. we should tell him. That's why all become like that. Which means, Paramahansa, next time we should have told him, fold it first, understand not, to one quarter, with one page and one quarter, the other fold. Then only bind, then no different. No different. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Paramahansa managed to open it up. Yeah, good, good, good. Maybe because of the glue. On the last page here, you try to open it up. But we have it in our Heart Sutta, you don't worry. It's in our Heart Sutta. Well, this was suggested by this Brother Sia when he did the transcript proofreading for us. We were talking about chat 1, chat 2, chat 3, so he didn't know what was chat 1, chat 2, chat 3. He said, for the benefit of the reader, you should put it in. We agreed to put it in. So because of the extra last page, like that one, we have to pay extra $200-$300. I know the binding, because he has to do that type of binding. Never mind, it's okay. As long as it can come out neatly, no problem. So apart from that, the book is good. So we like to thank them the usual way. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I also would like to rejoice all Kayaramita. We are Kayaramita Fund donated. The total cost of 2003. Kayaramita Fund donated. So we should rejoice too. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will continue from where we stopped, the Diamond Sutta. We were at page 141. Before we continue, turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Now we turn to page 141. And why, that is the beginning question. Tathagata means the suchness of the Dhamma. Yeah. Actually, Tathagata means suchness. Yeah. The Buddha is called a Tathagata, even though he is a Sammasambuddha, full enlightenment. The reason being, he is an expert in suchness. That's why they call him a Tathagata. The short word Tathata is suchness. So Tathagata is the Buddha who is an expert in suchness. If someone were to say the Tathagata attain anuttara samyat sambohi subhati, actually there is no Dhamma of anuttara samyat sambohi which the Buddha attains to. Subhati, the anuttara samyat sambohi which the Tathagata attain in that, there is neither true nor false. For that reason, the Tathagata speaks of all phenomena as Buddha Dhamma. Subhati, all phenomena are spoken of as no phenomena. Therefore, they are called phenomena. So this one is the abstract way of Dhamma. When you understand the unconditioned, then you will understand what these words mean. But if you cannot understand the unconditioned, you will never be able to make head or tail of what they are trying to tell you. It's like so contradictory. Has and has not. It's just like the English way of expression, now you see, now you don't. Then in the Heart Sutta also same, Form is emptiness, emptiness is form, very abstract. Then when they teach you the Dhamma, there is this Four Noble Truths. There is this form and mind, human being, everything is real within the conditional. But when it comes to the unconditioned, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. There is no old age, sickness and death too, no birth. Then no Dhamma too, no Four Noble Truth. No cause of suffering, the arising of suffering, the cessation of suffering and the path that lead to the cessation. So all this appear very abstract. So Dhamma is this way when you don't have a clear understanding. But when you understand, then nothing wrong. It's perfectly right. So now I'll go through the commentary by Master Xuanhua. We see what Master Xuanhua have to say. Tathagata, which translates as the thus come one, means that the Dhamma is thus. Thus means suchness. That's why Ananda was advised to start his the way he repeat the Dhamma. Because he has got good memory. Then he is very close to the Buddha. He is the Buddha's attendant. And he every time follow him. And he can remember all the Dhamma that the Buddha spoke. That's why it's like a tape recorder. Then he need to repeat all this when the Buddha is taking rest or not around. So, before the Buddha's parinibbana, he did ask the Buddha, how should we address you when we proclaim your Dhamma? He said, you use this word, thus have I heard. Very important, that's why the word thus. And the Buddha is also called the thus come one. You know what is thus come one? You don't know what is the meaning of thus? T-H-U-S. Thus have I said. The thus come one. Is it an English word or a Pali word? I think the English word also got such word, isn't it? Yeah, they have to find an English word that express this suchness, understand? So the word thus is very good. So, Maybe I use the whiteboard. Eh? You see, there are two words, eh? Suchness and thus. It's just to express it more clearly, that's why this two word comes into being. Thus come one. Then, thus have I heard. Then only Ananda proceed with the sharing. Thus have I heard. Means he heard this Dhamma direct from the Buddha, who is the Thus-come-one. Understand? Yeah? The Thus-come-one is the Buddha. Why is he called the Thus-come-one? Yeah. Where this word Thus, the meaning is also suchness. Suchness. So the Pali word is tatata. Tatata. Tatata is also suchness. Yeah. Then the Buddha is called a Tathagata, an expert in suchness. Tathagata. An expert in suchness. Oh, expert are. In suchness. Last time we share this at the Heart Sutta class, remember? During the early days. So now there is a condition to repeat this. You will learn it and find it easier to understand. Yes. Pass the mic to for the recording. Yeah. You can see or not from your side, Chui?
Is this, I just want to ask, is this Mandarin translation, English Mandarin translation, or is it used in all other languages of such a nature when they come to translating
the Chinese got this word zuzu. That's why zu lai.
No, but I mean, thus come one.
Yeah, zu lai is thus come one.
Yeah, but
zu. You know what is zu or not? Zuzu ah, suchness is zuzu.
But
you know Mandarin, isn't it?
But other other languages like
same. They have to translate this.
Japanese.
They have to translate this. They have to choose their own words.
Sri Lanka. Do they still translate as thus come?
Sri Lanka will have to use their Singlish to look for the word, but the Pali word is Tathagata.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that when they translate in English, let's say in Sri Lanka, would they say thus come one?
Yeah. It's a standard word. It's a standard word. Yeah. You look through all the what they call Pali translation, even by those Bhikkhu Bodhi, and there are a few translator. I forgot their name. The only familiar one is Bhikkhu Bodhi, where he's more famous. They will use this word Thus-come-one, suchness, Tathagata, and all those things. These are more commonly accepted translation. But more important is understanding what these words are. Thus, the meaning is very deep. Thus means suchness, means thing is just the way it is, anasana. You cannot argue on, you cannot explain on, it's like that one. That's why it's thus. And thus have I heard means you heard from the Buddha. Means it's not Ananda's own word. That's why it's very authentic. Yeah. And the Theravada tradition has this very good advantage of maintaining the authenticity of the Pali teaching. Yeah. These were the exact words. When it comes to Pali, they didn't run. But when it comes to translation, I realize a lot of the Dhamma run. Yeah. Because during the time of the Buddha, it seems, he used a lot of Pali words and Pali terms. Yeah. There was no word at that time. I think there was only spoken language. That's why it's orally transmitted since the time of the Buddha, 2,000 years ago. And civilization was not so progressive at that time. The world was still very, very backward and primitive in that sense. But in India at that time, they had this civilization along the Ganges, the Indus Valley and Ganges River civilization, I think. So these two words, Tas and Tathagata, the meaning you have to understand. Our closest English translation is suchness. Then there is another word which Krishnamurti used. Not only Krishnamurti, other subsequent teachers, they also use. You heard of this word, isness of thing, isn't it? Isness of thing. Isness of things. They always express it as truth is. Truth is. Both also capital, not IS. IS is different. But this truth is the isness of thing. Means truth, it's just truth, you understand? Not your truth or my truth or somebody else's truth. Your truth, my truth, and somebody else's truth, they are just our opinion of truth, you understand? You can follow. Our opinion of truth may not be the truth, understand? We think it's the truth. That is my truth. According to me, this is the truth. According to you, that is the truth. But these are all our opinion of truth. Yeah. But the reality, the isness of thing, truth is, means the nature's law truth. That one cannot argue. That's why I used to share with those who were with me during the early days. I always say, truth is. But the funny thing about our world is, we have a lot of religion in there. What does religion proclaim? They always say they have the truth. Understand? So religion is trying to monopolize truth. Understand? They always say, my religion is the only one that has the truth. So they want to monopolize truth. But truth cannot be monopolized. They fail to understand that point. Truth is. Truth cannot be owned by anybody. So what is the truth? What is the reality? Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Can follow? Correct or not? If you can explain the way things are, then that is the truth. That's why scientists can come up with theory, hypothesis, and prove it. Then when it explains the way things are, it becomes a theory. You can follow. Yeah? So truth, you can investigate into it. And if it's the truth, like the law of karma, it will stand up. Like the Buddha said, you are all born of your karma. Add to your karma. Condition is supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. And he dared to proclaim 400 over Dhammapada verse. truth that are evergreen. I ask you to come what you want that will be evergreen for maybe 10 centuries, 1,000 years. I don't think we can come out with unless we copy from the Buddha. Because a lot of the statement we make, it may only stand up for a while, maybe a century or so. After that, become obsolete already, you know. What you say is no longer valid anymore. It's not evergreen. But the Dhammapada words, irrespective of when you speak it, it will hold the truth. And that is the truth. Like heedfulness is the path to the deathless. That is the truth. Even within the conditioned world. Yeah. And you reap what you sow and all those things. Yeah. Action and reaction. Even scientists also, they know, they come out with their own theory. Yeah. So the isness of thing is very important. That's why later on you have Bhayankati, Krishnamurti, they always use the word what is. Remember? Yeah. Don't argue with what is. What is another word for suchness. What is the reality, the truth. So what is not an idea, Krishnamurti always said. An idea is what your thought tell you, your thought project to you. The idea is never the truth, the reality. The idea is just the way our thought process project and give us the impression that it is the truth. Yeah. And the easiest way to understand is thought always use the word if. If I have not gone there, if I have not done this, if I have not trusted him, if I have not married him, all this if is not a reality. These are all idea. You understand? Idea. But if it's the truth, it's not an idea. The reality is you already married him or her. Accident happened already, means happened already. So that is the truth. That is the reality. And that is more important. That's why when we cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, we have to have this deep understanding. The Tathagata is the embodiment of suchness, truth. He speaks the truth. And truth is, the reality is. And when you understand truth, you understand life. That's why every religion tried to monopolize truth so that they can get people to believe and join them. But the Buddha knew the Dhamma that he teach. You know what is Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. And what does he teach? His essence of his teaching is what? The Four Noble Truths. Not only truth, no, noble truth. Means truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's the uniqueness of his teaching. So now you understand. That's why Dhamma is truth. He teaches the truth. That's all. He never teach Buddhism. People add in the word ISM behind Buddha, become Buddhism. Understand? But he just teaches the Dhamma, which is the truth. And the essence of his teaching is the noble truth. Well, these noble truths are so unique. He summarized to us all of life, whether mundane or super mundane. Yeah. He said, this is the essence of his teaching. When you understand this Four Noble Truths, you will understand life. You can become noble ones because it's a noble truth. And noble ones are enlightened ones with noble qualities. They hold the noble eightfold path qualities. They have right view, means they have wisdom. Right view in regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. And the three powerful spiritual laws called the law of karma, law of mind, and law of dhamma. That's why you have karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So this makes the teaching very unique. If you want to be a noble one, enlightened one, according to what the Buddha has defined, then you must have this noble eightfold path quality. means you must have right view and right understanding with regards to the spiritual law that governs life and existence. It's the three important right view of karma niyama, law of karma, citta niyama, law of the mind, which is the dwelling, dependent origination, how you function as a human being, how you live and arise. The dependent origination will explain to you clearly how you function as a human being, how your mind arise and pass away, dependent on what arise and what happened. That's why it's called paticca samuppada, dependent originating, or dependent origination, law of dependent origination. Then the last one is dhamma niyama. Dhamma niyama is the nature's order of truth. And the most powerful within all truth is the Four Noble Truth. That's why these three right views are very important. Law of karma, law of the mind, the dependent origination or dwelling, and the Four Noble Truth. So when you have this, you have wisdom, you have understanding, you are very noble in your understanding of life, that you will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And you will be very noble in the way you carry yourself, conduct yourself. That's why you are incapable of negativity. You are very noble in the way you express and communicate with people. And you are very noble in your speech. Your action too will become very different. You will be very noble in the way you act. You are full of love. You are full of understanding. You are very gentle, very pleasant. You got a lot of goodness in you, virtue in you, kindness in you. You have a lot of virtue like sincerity, honesty, gratitude, contentment, kindness, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness. So all this make you very virtuous, very noble in the way you express yourself, in the way you conduct yourself, and in the way you interact with people and live life. Then when you are mindful, when you are heedful, constantly arising the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action, and wrong livelihood, then to develop the right thought, right speech, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then to refine upon and perfect all this right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood that are already in you. The other right effort is to prevent the arising of all this when you are already skillful. So, a person who holds the Noble Eightfold Path quality is a noble one, an enlightened one, according to the Buddha's teaching. Then they will have mindfulness, to be ever mindful, ever heedful, to avoid all evil, to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, then to develop the wisdom, purify the mind, to develop the wisdom. That's why they are a blessing to all. They are beautiful beings. They are called noble beings, noble one, enlightened one. So this is the basis of the Buddha Dhamma and his teaching. Okay? Yeah, we continue. Okay. According to Xianhua, he defined it slightly more differently. He said, Tathagata, which translates as the Tathagata one, means that the Dhamma is Tathagata. The Dhamma is in a state of unmoving suchness. He also used the word suchness. What does unmoving suchness look like? It has no appearance. Therefore, it further say, oh, this English is like mine last time. Therefore, it further says that there is no Dhamma which can be attained. If you attain a Dhamma, what would it look like? Would it be green, yellow, red, white, long, short, square, or round? When there is no name, no color, no appearances, then the Dhamma is thus. If there is a Dhamma which can be attained, then it is not thus. If there is any apparent Dhamma, then it is not thus too. So this is another way of expressing it, Xuanhua's way, which is also quite good. Then actually there is not the slightest Dhamma which can be attained. There is no Dhamma of unsurpassed, proper, equal, right enlightenment which the Buddha can attain. This is Xuanhua's way of explaining. There is another way of explaining. Anybody want to try? The form is there. When you have a physical body, there is form. But here, the appearance means manifestation. Means like external form, appearances. So whatever that can be seen, can be perceived, they are called phenomena or appearances. But what I'm trying to share with you is something different. We are trying to explain this in a different way. Why is it the Buddha say the Dhamma cannot be attained? That is true. That is one of the way. The other explanation is more important. You all want to take a shot or not? I want to rub off already. Somebody maybe use your camera to take a shot. I got no more place to write. Me, you expert in this. Okay, done. Done. Okay, good. Okay, I can roll. Okay. You see, a lot of people use the wrong word. They say, I attain enlightenment. What's your understanding when people say he has attained enlightenment? Something. There's another part which is more important. I attain. The ego. Means you attain something, just like PJ said. So this word attain doesn't fit in at all. I attain enlightenment. So there is a flaw in this statement, that I is an ego. Because everybody know the form of mind is not you. Then there is nothing to attain. When you attain, you take an entity. I attain something. Like PJ said, there is something to attain. Something to attain. That's why I prefer the word. Which is the word I prefer? No, not the one. I always use the word, the other word. I don't like this word attain. No. How do you develop the understanding? You have to? Realize it. So it's a realization. It's not an attainment, understand? Realization means not somebody realize, understand? It's just the mind that is. This realization just come about, understand? It's an awakening. The mind realizes itself, awakening. Or the mind realizes itself and sees. The mind realize itself. And cease. This is a very powerful understanding. When it realizes itself, means it realizes it's an egoic mind, conditioned arising mind, not real, understand? Then when it realizes it is a conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind, which is not your true nature, what happens? This mind realizes itself, means it's not real. Then it ceases to be. It doesn't want to has anything to do. It doesn't want to search anymore. There's no more craving, no more desire, nothing. It just sits. Then you will realize your true nature. Then it will awaken to the truth. That's why there is a realization. There is nobody to realize. But the awakening comes from the silent mind. The silent mind can awaken, can understand the conditioned world, can understand the unconditioned too. But it cannot say anything. It cannot express it. It needs a form of mind to come out to express it. You can follow. Yeah? That's why it's called a realization. I use the word realization. I prefer that word. Truth is to be realized. That's why the Buddha, under the proclamation of the Dhamma can only be realized by who? Yeah? By the wise, each for themselves. Yeah. The wise means the form of mind, the form of mind that is connected to that understanding, the awakening, the wisdom, each for themselves. That one refers to the Namarupang, the five aggregate of form of mind. Yeah. So just like this form of mind, yeah, this brother Theo that you all call, this is not me. Yeah. But this is the one because it's connected to the silent mind. And the silent mind that is connected to this nature can awaken, understand not? Then when it awakens, this wisdom is stored inside, understand not? This silent mind that awakens has the wisdom. That's why this wisdom that has arisen through the realization and awakening is connected to this form of mind. That's why this form of mind no longer deluded. You understand? That's why this form of mind you can say enlightened, but it's not me. Do you follow? This one is the one that is subject to karma. This is the one that you can say is enlightened, but it's not me. It's not you. So you are not deluded by it. And this is the one that can express all this out through words, through concept, through memory. We are using the form of mind. And this is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. Not you, and yet karmically condition out a vehicle and a tool for your nature to come, to live life, to experience life, to fulfill your vows, condition, to live and to do whatever this form of mind is capable of. Even though it's not real, only within the moment, split second is dead and gone. That's why there is such thing that you can call life, even though it's impermanent, not real, condition arising, dependent originating. You can follow. That's the reason why all the while I have been trying to explain to you all, you have to realize the unconditioned. Then only you can live using this form of mind within the conditioned world. Within the conditioned world, you don't have the ultimate truth, the ultimate realization of the unconditioned. It means in true emptiness. You cannot understand all those profound, deep wisdom. Then you cannot live in a conditioned world because you will be deluded, you will be deceived. You will attach, cling, and you will grasp. And the whole of the phenomenal world is like so real to you. Yeah. That's why without, pass the mind, the feeling. Without this unconditioned understanding or realization, it's impossible for the former mind to be free from suffering. Yeah, really. Yes.
I'd like to ask about the vows. So, the vows that we have made will be following so-called the karma.
Like not only karma. It is for the entire existence. We have this nature of mind. We always use this nature of mind. It's not just this segment, this form of mind, understand or not? This nature vow means life after life, whether through karma or you choose to come. Understand?
I'm just a little bit confused in itself. Yeah.
It's okay,
the
you
function
can,
of the vows. Like eons, we have been, you know, traveling eons after eons.
Traveler
we have ignorantly make a lot of unnecessary vows.
Yes.
That kind of vows actually conditions us.
Yeah, trap you.
Okay. So, with the actual vows, with the good vows, the bad vows, I mean, such words. How to actually, I would say, to break all those vows that we stupidly made.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Very good question. he used the word bake, like you bake cake. You know, it has transformed and become a cake. So if the vow is already baked, how are you to break it? It's very easy there. Yeah? You just renounce it, understand, through an understanding. It's just like you're asking for forgiveness. You see the connection and the link or not. Asking for forgiveness means what? Repentance. Means you understand that these are wrong. You understand? This is taking you to Holland instead of to progress. So when you understand that these are wrong things, well, last time you don't have the understanding, you don't have the wisdom, then you determine not to do this because you put to test, you investigate on it. Then you realize it stand up to investigation. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Then we are all born our karma, add to our karma condition and support the world karma. We are what we are because of you have to investigate into it. I investigate into it. I saw everything. I saw. Not only me, this form of mind. This form of mind occurs very clear. Everything since birth until now, like, cannot be. I didn't do anything. I cannot be so lucky. There is no such thing as luck. If you understand the deep meaning of luck, there is no such word. Everything is conditioned, arising. That's why the form of mind is subject to karma. 99.99999% is born of his karma, had his karma condition as well. And you are what you are because. And I saw it not only in this form of mind. My brothers, my sister, my parents, people whom I come to know, even your Kayamita, how you come. From your story, I saw everyone is different. That's why the Chinese culture got a very good saying, Jia Jia Yu Ben Nan. Every family has their own problem. And each and every one of us are unique in that sense. We are the summation of all those things that we do since the distant past until now. And this one you cannot run. And this karmic nature, like even in the Liao Fan story, is very clear. When you don't have the Buddha Dhamma, when you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, you cannot break. They call the vicious cycle of karma. In our society, we call it poverty cycle, very difficult to come out. Unless you have the understanding, then you know how to break free. So the karmic cycle is the same cycle of birth and death through karma. It's the same. Without the Buddha Dhamma, without the understanding, you don't know how to repent, ask for forgiveness. To free the mind, the subsequent birth and death, from all the fault and error that you have done before. That's why you need to first understand the nature's law that govern all this. Then that law says if you ask for forgiveness and repentance, it will do you a lot of good. First thing is, all the enlightened beings, they already forgiven you. So if you request all the major offenses that you commit to all the Aryas and the enlightened beings, they are actually immediately resolved. Because they already forgiven, like my nature. It is a continuous vow to forgive all beings, known or unknown, seen or unseen, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that has caused any karmic negativity to this nature of mine, whether in the distant past, present or in the future. This nature sincerely forgive them all. And it's a nature's law. It straight away like crosses out. That's why it melts down a lot of things. Then the karmic offense, which is very strong, will also melt. Because when you understand this is wrong, these are evil actions, it has caused so much suffering. Then there is love. There is sincerity. There is goodness. There is kindness. Then when you do it so sincerely, the nature's law will be touched, understand? Mother Nature will be touched. Then all this karmic obstruction, they will melt down first. Then there is a possibility of people coming to help you. Then whatever karmic condition, how small, how little it may be, it can come forth. But when the karmic obstruction is there, it will block you, completely obstruct. There's no way you can come out of it. So this is the second understanding. After you ask for forgiveness, it will give rise to these benefits. Immediately, a lot of past offense or karmic negativity that you have done to enlightened beings or virtuous beings, they can be cancelled out. Then the karmic offense can be watered down. Then you can have better condition to receive help. Then help become possible. Then whatever good karmic condition, they can actually manifest because the obstruction is no more there. Then when you start to cultivate, determine not to repeat all this and cultivate, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and do good and purify your mind, what happened to your nature? Your nature will go up all the way to the night. Then what happened is you will cultivate wholesomeness of condition. When you avoid all evil, there is no more negativity of condition for negative karma to take effect. You understand? Where you avoid all evil, you didn't react anymore. There is no condition for it to arise. So karma, unless it's heavy karma, cannot come and afflict you anymore. So the second way, after asking for forgiveness and repentance, is to cultivate sincerely following the advice of the Buddha. Vow not to repeat all this, because these are all wrong. Then vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then you introduce beautiful karmic condition. Means no more negativity. Means no more karmic negativity to condition your negative karma. Your life will improve. Straight away your life will improve. You understand? Then after that, whatever goodness you do become your parami. You understand? Your merits. Then the third way is invoke the power of merits. By the power of all these merits and wholesomeness, may it arise a causes and condition for all this karmic negativity or karmic obstruction to be overcome. May this form and mind recover to good life. Then the nature's law will take over and bring forth the causes and condition. That's why you can recover from all this. Or you want to help your loved one also can. May he or she recover to normal mind state. Normal state of mind. So that they can gain back their good life. Or may they recover from whatever sickness or disease. So all this can be done. And it can become possible through this understanding. That's why these are the three ways to break all this. Your vow is the same. Understand? Your vow is, like you say, wrong vow. Means based on wrong view. you develop wrong thing because you didn't investigate, you didn't check. But after you have investigated, checked, and become very sure, there is no more doubt. You go all out. Because what you have been developing or cultivating, there is no karmic negativity at all. It can only bring forth goodness, wholesomeness, wisdom and understanding. And this type of vow, like the Buddha told the Kalamas, you got no, nothing to lose. And you got no fear or worry about following them. Because first, you check, does it harm you? Does it harm others? If it doesn't, you are free to do. So all this vow that you are doing, does it harm you? It doesn't harm you. Then does it harm others? When you take the Bodhisattva vow, you are a blessing to all, isn't it? You not only don't harm others, you don't even harm yourself. And you become a blessing to all. Then this understanding that you determine to have life after life, the five aggregate of form and mind, that's what the Buddha said. Through self-delusion, you attach, you cling, and you grasp, and suffering arise. That's why the final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, the Buddha proclaimed it very clearly. In short, it is due to your self-delusion, the condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you. That is the cause of suffering. So if you know this is the cause, that's how you vow to have this right view and right understanding, not to grasp, not to cling. That's why in the Bodhisattva vow, I purposely write it down, to understand that this five aggregate of form and mind is not you. It's just a karmically conditioned tools and vehicle for you to come. To live life. To experience life, to cultivate and to fulfill your affinity with living being and to fulfill your vows. So if this is the one that you are taking, you will never go wrong. Understand? It's very clear. It's from the Buddha's teaching, this one come. Unless you don't believe the Buddha, that this five aggregate of form and mind is really you, and then it's different. Then you don't take this vow. Then you think this is a wrong vow. You say, no, this is me, this is I. And then you see you suffer. Can you follow? Well, this vow are very straightforward. You can investigate into it. You can come to an understanding even now with your limited progress and understanding. And it's so clear to all those cultivators. In the past, when you don't have all this, you got so much confusion, so much suffering, so much misery, so much thing went wrong, understand? That all of a sudden after you have this, your life becomes so different, you become so beautiful, your form and mind becomes so beautiful. Then you experience the peacefulness of mind through an awareness, through sati, through a free mind, no more the conditioned mind. Then you can develop all this beautiful understanding, which can give rise to so much joy, so much love, so much goodness in you, so that you can be a blessing to all. This is what the Buddha Dhamma is all about. It's so different. Okay? Yeah. So I hope I answer your question. Yeah. How it function? No, because you determine through your power of merits. Understand? Power of merits. That's why you invoke the power of merit. By the power of all these merits and wholesome, may it arise the causes thing. How it happened, I don't know. It comes through nature's law. And this is the perfect way. That's why I used to tell a lot of Kayamita, I say, this nature, because it has got this understanding, and this particular perfection, adhittana, or making of aspiration and vow, this nature has perfected. That's why it knows it is very beautiful. That's why when it comes, it's like I used to tell my wife when I was older, Kavita, ask you to plan, also you cannot make it so perfect. Understand? I give you the free will to plan, you also cannot make it so perfect. The way it comes is so perfect until you will never believe it can be like that. Sometimes things just happen. It causes things to arise. It overrules and overrides a lot of things in nature. And it just manifests beyond your wildest dream. And it just happens like that. And I keep on reflecting. It has to be all from the past. Otherwise, it cannot be like that. I didn't do anything. No. This nature just flow and echo. And everything just unfolds like that. That's why I say you write a biography about my life, I tell you. The world will be amazed. How things just happen like that. Very crazy, madness, unimaginable. And yet it keeps on unfolding. How can it happen this way? Because it has this understanding. And through vows, nothing else. If you don't make vow, this way is impossible. Impossible. That's why Adityana is one of the 10 perfections you have to cultivate. If you don't have this, it's just like you don't have love. Metta is one of the perfections. Yeah. Compassion is one of the perfections. Wisdom is one of the perfections. If you don't have any of these, this way is not for you. Yeah. That's why Adityana or vow. Or aspiration, determination, affirmation of truth. These are very powerful. Even the Buddha, under his teaching, he used a lot of all this. We went through before, Jaya Mangala Sutta and all those things. Ittena Satcha Vajena and all those things. Invoke the power of truth. So all this the Buddha has used before. But it is a perfection that is so wide in its scope. That's why living beings will not understand unless you can meet up with those beings that has gone those way, that has the experience and the understanding. Then they can share with you. This is not something where normal Dhamma teacher can teach you. No. If they have not taken that way, it's way beyond their understanding. Because it is not done by the normal sainthood way. The normal sainthood way, even until Arahant, Chip or what, don't have this type of extensive cultivation. That's why it's just like our education system. You can graduate anytime. If after Form 3 you say you have enough, you can come out. But then you continue to Form 5, you realize the understanding is different. Then you continue to Form 6, again different. Then you continue to diploma, university, it's different again. Then when you finish your degree, which is your graduate program, then you realize there is master program, then PhD program, then there is further specialization. Then you realize all this as you go through, you become so different. So it depends on your understanding. If you are contented with Form 3, then you stop at Form 3. Nobody can say you are wrong. Because a lot of people don't have education also become very successful. If it's just material success, you can stop anytime. But if you want to have academic success, you want to have fulfillment in life, you have to go into the spiritual field. Academic field is just for academic success, materialistic success. But spiritual field is different. Spiritual field is completely different. It's an understanding. It brings forth the understanding to allow you to understand life so that you can truly live life, so that you can appreciate life. Then life becomes different. There is meaning to life. Then there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. then life take a turn and you can live life to the fullest. You can realize the pinnacle of life. You can experience all of the wonders and beauties of life, pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life becomes very different. That is what Buddha Dhamma can offer to living beings. Okay? Okay, we are almost time, I think. Oh, 2 more minutes. I didn't even finish that page. Okay, I at least finished that paragraph. The anuttara samyat sambohi which the Tathagata attained. If you force it and say that the Tathagata attained something called anuttara samyat sambohi, that anuttara samyat is neither true nor false. Be neither true nor false, it is the final meaning of the middle path. It's real mahapranya. This one I don't want to comment. This is Chen Hua's commentary. We leave it. This is his way of seeing the middle path. Therefore, the Tathagata say that although there is no Dhamma which can be attained, yet all Dhamma are Buddha Dhamma. There is nothing outside the Buddha Dhamma. Therefore, all teachings are. All teachings are Buddhist. Correct or not? All teachings are Buddhist. Maybe he is referring to Buddhist teaching. They do not go beyond the Buddha's teaching, in that sense. Because the Buddha's teaching contains all things. Buddha Dhamma is the totality of the Dhamma. Buddhism is the totality of all other teaching. All schools and teachings are born from within the Buddha's teaching. Since they are all born from Buddhism, the word Buddhism coming again, in the future they will again return to Buddhism. Therefore, it is unnecessary to ask to what religion a person belongs, no matter what school, what sect of teaching or religion one believes in. None goes beyond Buddhism. The essential part is to have faith in something. Then although you may believe various teaching, switching back and forth from this one to that one, in the end you will certainly return to Buddhism. The Buddha Dhamma is that great, although it says there is no Dhamma which can be attained. Nevertheless, there is not one Dhamma which is not the Buddha Dhamma. And since the Buddha Dhamma is ultimately attainable, how could a single Dhamma be attained? So this is Chen Hua's commentary. We just leave it. So but the all phenomena are spoken of as no phenomena. When spoken from the point of view of common truth, all phenomena exist. This is within the conditioned world. If spoken from the point of view of actual truth, means the unconditioned, no phenomena exist. This is true. Therefore, they are called phenomena. When spoken from the point of view of the middle path or middle way, all phenomena are false names and nothing more. And in that way, they are the final meaning of the middle way. This is what Xuan Hua's commentary is, his way of expressing it, which is based on what he understands. But middle way, there are two very important aspects to it. First is as proclaimed by the Buddha under the Four Noble Truths, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon that he delivered. The first thing he told the 5 ascetics is avoid the 2 extremes. What are the 2 extremes? Avoid sensual indulgence and self-mortification. And this is the first middle way. Then the second middle way is different from what Xuan Hua expressed. It's to transcend duality created by thought, by idea, by the mundane mind, the heedless mind. So when you can transcend duality, you can transcend the world. Because the phenomenal world come from mind, created by mind. And mind divide through words, duality, And this is where people get entangled, become caught in division. So when there is division, what happens? You attach to your particular belief system. You attach to your religious label, your race, your gender. Then sometimes within the same religion, you also attach to your own type. Understand? Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana. Yes, Chui. No need to use that word. That's why I say, can. Yes. Correct. Because you are right in that sense, because that word Buddhism come later, after the Buddha died. That's why the Hindu, they add ism behind it, because Hinduism. Sikhism. So all the ism is the English dictionary that put it in. The Buddha never teach Buddhism. You look at the Pali text. He never teach Buddhism. He teach the Dhamma. That's it. That's why Chui was right. That's why I did mention just now. That's why I did mention to you on many occasions. We have to respect him for what he is. This is his commentary. Because we use his, we in fact are very grateful to have a commentary by him so that we can use it. Otherwise, I don't have anything to refer to. So I will just teach based on my words and my understanding, and you will become more confused. So, but when I have this, then I can show it to you, the difference. He has his way, which is not bad. I took refuge under him too. At that time, he was very good. Yeah, it was in the early 80s. Then it was his book that actually helped me, the Surangama Sutta, during the early days. Then later on, I got hold of the other books, Charles Lopez and all. But all these have affinity. That's why it comes. Then he is way before us. He was very much more my senior. Correct, at that time. Correct. It's based on his understanding. Correct. I can understand what you saw and what you understand, which is beautiful. But we have to accept him for what he is. He's still a very good monk at that time. Understand? I took refuge under him, my whole family. And I learned quite a lot of good Dhamma from him too. But the understanding of it differ later on, because everyone is different. That's why when I share, I am very careful. That's why I just have to mention to you that is his commentary. We leave it at thus. We have to respect him for what he is. But the way I understand it different. That's why I will explain it to you in a different way. But some of it are not bad. Like Chui say, after she read through, she realized it is like very good for a while, then destroy all of the good. Chui, you put up your hand. His commentaries. Correct. That's why even in the Theravada, they realize it's not always correct to follow commentary. Well, commentaries are people's command. It can be misleading. Yes. Correct. You are right. But the world is like that. As you evolve and become more wise, you look back. All those earlier teaching become like not so profound anymore. Understand? But then you look at the teaching before winning. The teaching was like very backward, understand? But after Hui Ning come, it went up, it flourished. Then what happened? He died again, understand? And then now, we have to bring up the sasana again, so that the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, will flourish again. But it's not easy. It need great beings to come, like Hui Ning and all this. Then when they come, they will show it to the world, completely different understanding. And it's very easy to understand, because it will stand up to investigation. And it's very easy to see, black and white, very clear. Okay? We better stop. I think we exceeded by 6 minutes. Oh, 9 minutes. Yes. No, three. That is Xuanhua's commentary. The main middle path is only two. Self-motivation and sensual and indulgent. Then transcend reality. The rest is other people's commentary and interpretation. Yeah, the middle path, the highest, is transcend duality. Yeah. If you can transcend duality, means you can transcend the conditioned world. Yeah. It's just like when we talk about past, present, and future. Which is the reality? Present moment. So present moment is the highest within the conditioned world. Understand? You can be with the moment without thought. You truly experience life. You truly live life. You are in the moment. You are not heedless. You are not lost in thought. You are with the reality of the moment. But to transcend birth and death, you have to transcend even that moment. You understand? Huh? Even though it's the highest. So, middle path is like that. If you want to transcend birth and death, you have to transcend the duality. Duality means what? Like, sun seal, polish until it shines so that no dust there. Still got dust. That's like Hui Ning knew. Originally, it was empty. Where can the dust and light finish? He gone beyond mind, beyond all the creation. To transcend duality is to go beyond the mundane mind, to realize the unconditioned. That's it, finish. And after that, no more high or low. High or low is just words from the mundane mind. Okay? We do the sharing of merits, then we end. Recall to mind all of our wholesomeness. Then we will dedicate and share this merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan lokasasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawan ivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.